Are we having fun yet?
Right? From those commercials?
Beer commercials.
Right?
Hi, I'm Alexander Chester, and Av, no one wants to see your penis. No one.
And I'm Av Zdanski, and I am in the overall handsome business.
Welcome back to Pretty Good, formerly a Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast, then for a brief 6 weeks, a rehearsal podcast, and presently a Party Down podcast. We are here today to discuss episode one of Party Down, which is called Willow Canyon Homeowners Annual Party, which originally aired on March 20th, 2009, directed by Fred Savage, written by, among others, Paul Rudd. And I think we should start with sort of like the background to this show. So they filmed this unaired pilot at the house of Rob Thomas, who's one of the other one of the show's other creators and co-writers, who also created Veronica Mars, and which is where Ryan Hansen and a number of the others in Party Down will come from.
Right.
And that pilot had the original cast with two exceptions. Andrea Savage played the Lizzie Kaplan role.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. We've established ourselves as Andrea Savage fans on this podcast before.
Oh, huge Andrea Savage fans.
So I think she would have been great, even though, spoiler alert, Lizzie Kaplan might be my favorite performer over the course of Party Down.
Yeah, I do feel like, who knows what would have been. Andrea Savage doesn't seem to quite have the demeanor that of this character. I think it would have been a very different character.
Can do sarcastic and, but yeah, maybe not as
it's
hard.
A different, it's, yeah, like it's different.
It's a slightly different flavor of Jew.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess.
And then the other exception from the pilot is Paul Rudd was acting in the pilot.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I didn't know any of this. I'm glad to be listening to this podcast while recording it. Cause I did no research on any of this stuff.
Yeah. So Paul Rudd was originally in the pilot and was planning on acting in the show. And then he had scheduling conflicts that precluded him from being in front of the camera, although he is a writer for all 20 episodes.
Was he going to take Adam Scott's role?
So, I mean, because Adam Scott is usually seen as sort of like a, I wouldn't even say poor man's, because Adam Scott's also very good, but he's very similar to Paul Rudd.
Yeah, but I think poor man's is okay. They have a very similar quality, but I would say, yeah, Paul Rudd's in Marvel movies. He's much more of a household name than Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Or at least as a more of a latecomer than Paul Rudd.
So, but from what I can tell, they were both in the pilot episode. So,
yeah,
because it sort of seems like a one-for-one replacement, but I don't think that was necessarily the case.
Huh. And I assume this is not something that somebody could watch anywhere. It doesn't exist out there. Or
I mean, if somebody can find it, that'd be great. I would definitely watch it. Yeah, but I'm not sure. So, but they show that. That's what got the show on air. I think they started with HBO and then they ended up on Stars. And, you know, I love this show and I'm really excited we're doing this podcast. It's you have Ken Marino and a bunch of folks from the state. You have all these actors who are sort of like on the precipice of like the start of their careers.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cast that like is like gargantuan in retrospect. But at the time, these were like mostly not household names. And like now almost all of them are.
Yeah. I mean, so Jane Lynch. So this show goes on the air in March 2009. Okay. 2 months later, she debuts on another little show called Glee.
Yeah.
Which ultimately becomes so huge that, you know, she gets pulled off of Party Down. Another spoiler alert there. Lizzie Kaplan goes from Party Down to Masters of Sex, where she would be nominated for a bunch of Emmys and other fancy awards. Adam Scott, you know, who we just called sort of backup Paul Rudd, becomes his own star. He had been on like Step Brothers in some movies, but always in a minor role. He goes from Party Down straight to Parks and Rec.
Wow. Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, in 2022, he starred in Severance, which, spoiler alert, might be my number one show of the year. You like Severance, I assume.
I loved Severance. Yeah.
Martin Starr, you know, we knew him as like one of the little kids on Freaks and Geeks.
Right.
And then he goes from Party Down to Silicon Valley, where he basically plays the exact same person.
Yeah. He doesn't have a whole lot of range, but he's like one of my favorite.
At what he does.
Yeah, at what he does. He's great. He like absolutely nails the character that he plays both here and in Silicon Valley. His full name, or, you know, his birth name for those keeping track at home, is Martin James Pfleger Shenley. So
he's not Bart Starr's grandson, you're saying?
Yeah. Well, he might be on the mother's side. But...
He took his mother's maiden name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, the disappointing counterexample to everything is Ken Marino, who, like, you know, he's I don't know if he's the breakout star from the show, but I think his acting performance is just as like this cringe Nebuch. He's unbelievable. He's fantastic. And he seems to me, at least based on episode one, he's the best actor in the show. He's doing such a good job, but he really never, you know, he was in the state, but he never really, you know, broke out. He's sort of still sort of at the same level of fame he was probably in 2009, I would guess, or maybe even more.
Yeah. He plays like what's very much, I would say, like a Michael Scott analog in this show.
Yeah, I have that in my notes. A couple of the Office references in this episode. We have, for sure, the Michael Scott vibes from Ron Donald. Henry Casey give off Jim Pam vibes to me.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the husband shows up very much like Roy in The Office also.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, and then.
If The Office, instead of a paper company, was a catering company, that's your show.
Yeah. And then the other irony sort of is Ryan Hansen, who's portraying like this classic Hollywood, you know, professional, good looking guy, probably the least well known among the core cast, right?
By a mile. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was actually the only one that I was like, I don't even know who he is. Like when I was rewatching this, I had to like check out his whole IMDb. And I'm like, I don't think I know him really from anything else.
Yeah.
This is kind of the main thing that I know him from.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically like the story of the breakout of all these stars is also kind of the story of the show's ending, because you have this like niche pay cable show that can't compete with Fox and Glee or NBC and Parks and Rec or whatever. So they lose Jane Lynch and they lose Adam Scott. And ultimately like the show's successful highlighting of all these great comedic actors basically contributes to its own undoing. Not unlike Arrested Development in a way.
Yeah. But the good news, however, for those following the news, is that Starz has ordered and I believe already filmed a what's it called? Like, I guess a reunion or a reboot. I don't know exactly what sort of.
Are we getting a full season three or just one episode?
I think it's six episodes is what I read
and it's
somewhere.
Everybody but Lizzie Kaplan, I think. Is that right?
I think that's right. And that is supposed to come, you know, sometime. We don't know when. We're hoping that the folks over at Starz will try to line things up so that their the new episodes will start to drop once we have completed our rewatch. That would be very nice and convenient if they were to do so, but obviously that is out of our control, and should the timing not work up, we'll have to adjust on the fly and figure out what to do, because we certainly intend on covering those new episodes when they do arrive. So you know, for now the plan is we're gonna cover these 20 episodes of Party Down over the next 20 weeks, which should take us close to, or if not right around, the end of 2022. And I would say like our general policy should be, and we haven't discussed this yet, so you should feel free to disagree, but you know,
I'm not above the policy, but
yeah. I'm making the policy now. So, I think that, you know, with respect to spoilers, I think our policy should be like, we're going to not like actively try to spoil anything, notwithstanding what you just said about Jane Lynch not being in all the episodes. But like, we're also like not going to like be super careful either. Like, this isn't a show that's like highly spoilable anyway, so it's not the biggest deal. But like,
it's more vibes than plot.
Yeah, but like, we're certainly not going to like go out of our way to deliberately say, well, as we know, in like six episodes down the road, you know, such and such will happen, because you know, we understand that some of the people along for the ride are watching this for the first time, unlike Curb, which you know, our expectation was that this was, you know, something that everyone was rewatching along with us. So we're certainly not going to try to actively spoil anyone on future plot developments, and frankly I barely remember anything anyway.
I have not seen this show in years, so I remember, I mean, I did make a reference to there being a sort of a Jim Pam vibe among, but I think that's sort of obvious.
Yeah, that's kind of obvious for episodes. So yeah, so you know, we're gonna do our best. If you're like, you know, I know there are people out there that are just like super duper strict about spoilers and they don't want to know anything. If that's the case, then you know, I guess maybe don't listen. But you know,
well, we'll warn you again. I can't think of any massive spoiler we're gonna drop.
Yeah,
because we don't remember anything.
As I said, I barely remember anything, if at all. So like, I think you'll be fine. But I know there are people out there that are just like super anal about anything being spoiled. And to those people, you know, as I said, we'll do our best, but no promises.
Yeah, and I think like you sort of get the idea from like the name of the first episode, and if you look at the other episode names, the idea of the show is that every episode they go and they party, they work at a different function, a different party, a different event. And so each episode is really like it can stand alone on its own.
Right. And that's actually part of the appeal of the show. What makes it great is that every episode takes place at a new venue with different guest stars and like, just like different hijinks. There's, you know, some element of, you know, a linear storyline that goes from beginning to end, but not a whole lot.
Yeah. When you see someone's husband show up and there's boyfriend trouble and there's a new guy working in the, like, obviously something's going to happen there. But
right.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into our episode recap.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we start out our series with a monologue. The camera panned in on Ron Donald, played by Ken Marino, as you said before. And he is enthusiastically pitching the services of this Party Down catering crew to the party host of the day. And that would be one Liddy McSpadden, played by the great Rebecca Kreskoff, otherwise known as Heidi from the Smiley Face episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And notwithstanding what I just said about spoiler alerts, I will tell you that I did peek a little bit ahead at the next few episodes, and we're going to have some other notable Curb guest appearances in the next few episodes. So that certainly makes this a very worthy segue off of our Curb coverage with the brief, the rehearsal coverage. So we're staying a little bit in the Curb nexus for a little while.
Yeah, and I think Ken Marino, instantly incredible, such a desperate Nebuch. He's doing such a great job here. And, you know, I said this already, but I'm really disappointed his career hasn't been more than it is, because I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, it's akin to the Adam Scott, Henry Pollard line of, well, you saw me in that. Have you seen me in anything else since then?
Well, no, I've seen him. I watch all of The State. Did you ever watch The State?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, so The State was a comedy, like it was almost like a SNL or Mad TV kind of thing on MTV in like the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And it was a group of guys and girls all from NYU. I think they started at NYU together in college. You know who the rest of them are. First of all, they've made Wet Hot American Summer, Reno 911. They made all those movies and TV shows. It's Michael Ian Black. It's Carrie Kenny Silver, Tom Lennon, Joe Latrugia, Michael Showalter, David Wayne. It's that whole group of people.
Got it.
Okay. So yeah, they've made a bunch of stuff you've seen. Mm-hmm. I think David Wayne was like the main, like the brain behind it, like the creator or like the main director or producer or whatever. But I think that Michael, what's his name? Ken Marino, to me, was sort of like the one, my favorite guy on that show. And he's really, really good at playing like the guy who thinks he's really cool, but is just like like unbelievably cringe, like huge Nebuch. So
got it.
Yeah. So you've seen Wet Hot American Summer, right?
Yeah. I've seen the movie, and I think I saw the show. Or at least I saw some of the show.
Yeah,
I didn't.
So that's
Michael
Showalter. He's also from The State.
Got it. Yeah, I didn't like the shows. So I don't know if I made it all the way through. But yeah. I do enjoy.
I think what happened is I really liked the movie, Wet Hot American Summer, and when I first saw it, and so then I went back and got the DVDs of all of the episodes of The State, and so I rewatched all of those like 15 years ago.
Oh, cool.
So yeah.
So in the course of giving his whole spiel, he kind of admits to the fact that he's a recovering drug addict and that in the past he would occasionally go into clients' medicine cabinets looking for something that might give him a buzz.
Yeah. And I think everything, and I'm not saying this is a spoiler because I don't remember, but the vibe I'm getting is that everything they're referencing that happened in the past is going to happen again.
Yeah. This client seems a little bit taken aback by that, a little bit nervous. She's trying to give him some sort of compliment. The best she could come up with is efficient. Meanwhile, we see Henry Pollard, a.k.a. Adam Scott, coming in late. He's arriving in a beat up car, a very creased shirt, and he seems to be the latest member of the team. While he's on his way in, Ron is trying to, you know, get the whole team together, get them organized, getting them ready to, you know, start working. And this is when we really meet the rest of the team. We got Constance Carmel, played by Jane Lynch. We got Kyle Bradway, played by Ryan Hansen. And we got Roman De Beers, played by Martin Starr. And, you know, despite his efforts to get things organized, this impromptu team meeting keeps getting interrupted because Constance and Kyle are trying to run lines for Kyle's upcoming audition for the Palisades, which I don't I'm assuming that's a fake show.
It sounds like a show on Fox that lasted like six episodes.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds like a soap opera, but right. Who knows what it is?
Yeah.
And Ron also mentions that he recently took sensitivity training and he learned that actually the word Mexican is not offensive.
Yeah.
Which I think is wrong.
Well, it depends if the context in which he uses it is not great. Later in the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're right. There could be times where Mexican is fine. But yeah. And
like,
what is
the citizenship of most people who live in Mexico?
Right. Mexican.
They're Mexicans.
how dare you? And Ron is very excited because the hostess has said,
and some I assume are good people.
Some are good people. that they can put out the tip jar today and bet on themselves. The rest of the team would rather just take the guaranteed $20.
Yeah. Now let's jump to the end of the episode for a second. They each collect $14. Is that their total payment? Like, are they not? Is there not also a salary component here?
I assume they probably get paid minimum wage or close to it. I mean,
because $14 for an entire day's work, not ideal.
Yeah, no, I think it's supposed to be that rather than taking the guaranteed 20, they got 14 each.
Yeah, so they a $6 loss is not so terrible,
I guess. But like,
but I guess if they're never superseding the 20, then they should.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's more like this. I assume this has probably happened before. And they're all like, just take the 20. Yeah.
Funny thing is, like, this party, which to us seems to, like, go very wrong for a number of reasons, seems like it's a pretty average day in their world.
Yeah, I mean, this is their lives. They are, servicing rich Hollywood folks.
Relatively nonplussed by a lot of, the chaos. You have Jane Lynch starting a water gun, like attacking a bunch of children with water guns. You have people making out with guests. You have somebody making out with a child, which we can get into that. But like, I don't know how old she's supposed to be. That's a little strange. Casey just walking around with a camcorder, filming whatever the hell she wants. This all seems like par for the course with this team.
Yeah, I assume there is a whole lot of stuff that they've seen that maybe you and I would be a little bit taken aback. But you know, they're pros.
Yeah,
these are real pros.
Pros, yes.
So Henry walks in and Ron introduces him to everybody, tells them, he's an old work friend. And Henry is like very surprised by Ron's demeanor that like, he's now this responsible team leader. He has an extra like spare shirt that's like nice and crisp and ironed for him to change into. And
I didn't take Henry's being surprised. I thought Henry is like having a lot of sympathy for like this poor loser whose like big goal in life is to slightly move up. He's like, I can't believe you've been doing this for the last 8 years. Like, I had a life.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both because I mean, it's implied that the last
I think
time...
the surprise is you've been here the whole time. Like, I thought you would be gone by now.
Interesting.
This is not a career job for these people. This is like
right. But at the same time, I think we're meant to believe that Ron used to be a mess, and now he's like cleaned up his act a little bit, and he's no longer a drug addict, and
I don't know if
he's holding down a job.
We'll see. It's not clear to me he's cleaned up anything.
His dream in life is to run a Super Crackers franchise, which is I think most people know it for their unlimited salad, but are actually more of a soup place, according to Ron.
You know what this reminds me of? That there's the chain, at least in New York City, I don't know if it's elsewhere, Just Salad.
It sounds familiar. I never think of it either.
There's a chain of salad restaurants in New York called Just Salad, and their slogan is not just salad, which drives me fucking nuts.
That's very
you
confusing.
Can't call yourself Just Salad and then say we don't only serve, it completely drives me nuts.
Yeah, turns out you can.
The other one that it really annoys me is when you have dollar stores or not, it's 99 cents and up.
Right.
I'm like, that's every not a dollar store. If anything, right. You're the most expensive store in the world because you have a minimum. Other stores might have cheaper items.
Right.
See that,
you're a minimum $1 store.
Yeah, exactly. It drives me nuts.
Marketing.
Yeah. But Super Crackers, yeah.
Yeah. And then they are interrupted by the final member of our team, the aforementioned Lizzie Kaplan, who plays a lady named Casey Klein, possibly Jewish. And Ron is very disappointed that she's late now for the second time and gives her a final warning.
Yeah.
Casey doesn't really understand this because, as she explains, the person who Henry replaced, known as Sage, was fired after 5 warnings for masturbating in closets at party events.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. This party is par for the course for them.
Yeah, God bless the patriarchy.
Yeah. We also meet the husband, who's I didn't know his name, but I immediately recognized his face. And his name is Enrico Colantoni. And I know him primarily from Just Shoot Me. Were you ever a Just Shoot Me guy, Av?
No.
So I used to watch Just Shoot Me back when it was on TV. Great show. George Segal, Wendy Malick, David Spade. And yeah, so he was in the main cast there. And so he has a very recognizable face to me, but I'm not sure what else he's been doing since that. Just
yeah, let me see. I recognize him as well from something recent. Well, he was also, he was on Station 11. Okay, that's probably where I'm recognizing him from.
Okay.
He was in a bunch of episodes there. He too was part of Veronica Mars. That seems to be where a lot of the people that we're going to see will have come over from. I never saw Veronica Mars. People like it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Nothing else on his IMDb that is really ringing a bell of any sort.
But a very recognizable face.
Yeah, it's probably Station 11 that I recognize him from. His wife doesn't like his appearance. He has a slovenly shirt and
his wife
shaved.
Doesn't like anything he does throughout the series.
Well, he does a lot of unlikable things. I don't think this is
he's the asshole.
I think so, but I guess we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
And Casey, it looks like Casey's job is to just record the party. I don't know what that's about.
Pretty good gig, yeah.
Yeah, but like, why is that on
like,
the caterers?
Like a little like $99 camcorder, it looks like.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, we're a catering company and we offer recording services.
Full party
too?
Services.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah,
they do it all. I mean, they also, the bartending.
Yeah. And Constance is like this, bubble of energy. She's just she's dancing with everyone.
Completely
singing,
delusional, but yeah.
Yes, right. She's been in many. She was with
her. Likes to tell lots of stories about the her almost dust. Yeah, she reminds me of the old lady who's the landlord of Kramer when Kramer goes to L.A. in Seinfeld. Right. No matter what happens, she wants to tell an anecdote about what happened to her when she had a brush with fame many years ago. You know that old lady I'm talking about?
I don't remember. I don't remember her now.
So there's some really old lady in the apartment building where Kramer's living in L.A., and she always wants to tell stories about her experiences in Hollywood in, like, the 1940s or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And Kramer never really – and Constance is constantly doing that, especially to Kyle. You know, it's like, the time I was trying out for this, and the time I was trying out for that, and I almost was on this. And then I saw Robert De Niro for 4 seconds. And,
you know. Got it. Yeah. So we head over to the actual party is now starting.
So this party, it seems like this is like a housing development, right? And so they're hosting the party, but it's not exactly clear what this party is, right? Why are all these people at their house?
Well, I think the main event of this party is the awards that we're going to see later on. So yeah, this is like for like the homeowners association, and like I guess just it's being hosted at their house.
Yeah, yeah. Gordon is not happy to be here.
Yeah, so
he's not having fun yet. Well, he will have fun eventually when he comes.
So Roman is working at the DJ booth, and he has his eye on the teenage daughter.
Now, how old is this girl? Because I think this is relevant.
Yeah, 16.
Okay. I think the age of consent in California is 16, right?
It might be. I mean, she's not much older than that, if at all. She's definitely in high school, I think.
Sure, but high school could be 14 or 18. There's a big range there, and there's like a lot of different levels of criminality.
Yeah, I suppose. And Kyle observes Roman, having her eye on her, and he decides, you're a huge nerd. I'm going to take over. And he just goes in for the kill and, seems to hit it off with the girl right away.
Quite well. Yeah. I'm trying to find out, is her name Jackie? Oh, here she is. Her name is Eden Scher. She was born in 1991. So at least when they're filming, she's 17.
Okay.
So, all right. Not ideal, but.
All right, so maybe she's supposed to be like a senior or freshman in college, but she seems younger, frankly.
Ron will call her a little girl.
Right.
Yeah. California age of consent is 18, by the way. You have to be 18 to have sex in California. So the actress is not even 18. So Kyle is possibly committing a felony here.
Right. And Martin Starr was committing a conspiracy to commit a felony.
Yeah. Ron, by getting caught, rubbing one out in the bathroom, actually saves Ryan from.
Oh, interesting. Good point.
Or Kyle, I should call him. Ryan's the actor. Saves Kyle from committing a greater crime because all they actually do is make out on the bed. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No harm, no foul. Just making out.
So Ron, what a hero as a team leader.
He saves the day. Yeah. So he, Ron is like, going around the party, schmoozing, serving people. And he accidentally bumps into this black guy and he, he's very, surprise and he's apologetic and he's about to tell Constance to go get him some fried chicken, but as he turns
which to be fair, we had acknowledged earlier in the episode, the same scene where he talked about his racial sensitivity training, we had learned that they had some hors d'oeuvres of fried chicken.
But as he turns around and sees that it's a black guy, he starts saying get him some fried and he's like appetizers that are not shrimp.
Yeah. Not much, but
saves the day.
Yeah.
We also see Constance somehow acquires a water gun and attacks a bunch of kids, echoing Scarface, say hello to my little friend. And the husband comes over to Henry to get a drink. Henry sneaks a drink right before the host walks up, and the husband keeps saying that he recognizes Henry, but he can't place where. He doesn't know where he recognizes him from. Henry attributes it to him having a very recognizable face.
Yeah. And this will be a running meme throughout the episode.
Yeah.
Theme. Everyone wants to know. They recognize him, but they can't place it.
Right. Roman then comes over and he says, the hosts, the guests, these ordinary fucking people. And Henry, to his credit, gets the reference. But when Kyle walks over,
I did
not either. No, yeah. I've never seen Repo Man. Kyle assumes they're talking about the movie Ordinary People,
which is a reasonable guess.
When in fact, they're talking about the movie Repo Man, where
someone says that.
Yeah, someone says that line. Yeah. And Repo Man is not a movie that I've seen. Ordinary People I have seen. So I'm on team Kyle here.
Yeah, me also, actually.
So another party guest asked, this time a woman. She also wants to know why Henry looks so familiar. He again uses the same excuse.
And this woman, we should describe, is inebriated, quite attractive, and loosely dressed.
Yes, and is referred to by Kyle as a MILF.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle and Henry kind of like compare notes about their careers, at which point Henry concludes that A, Kyle is in the overall handsome business, and
but
also
he
that he's quite stupid.
Yes.
Kyle is definitely intended to be just like that.
He's Joey Tribbiani.
Typical, just like dumb, good looking guy, doesn't understand anything.
He's an actor, as we would say in Survivor.
Right. We'll see how well they do with this character. It's a character that always I feel like hits quickly and then has diminishing returns.
Wasn't he on season like 16 of Survivor? I feel like he might have been.
Kyle?
Yeah. There's a lot of people like him in the teens here. So
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More the 20s than the teens, but yeah.
Yeah. True. Okay.
Henry then goes over to introduce himself to Casey because he sees her arguing on the phone. And what he discovers is that she was arguing with her husband. And she asks him if he could give her a heads up if he sees her husband, which I don't know how he would, like, he doesn't know who her husband is. Like, I guess he figures it out later, but like, this is kind of a tough favor that she's asking.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if the guy specifically comes over and says, "Hi, I am Casey's husband."
It's also a little insane, though, for this husband to like show up at her place of work. I mean, like, I don't even know how this relationship has lasted this long.
Yeah. Her husband doesn't seem great.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, I don't think it's going to last much longer.
We learned that Casey is a comedian of the improv variety primarily. And Henry admits to her that he was in a popular national commercial, but he hasn't landed another role since. And that's why she hasn't seen him in anything else.
Yeah. But there is something funny to me about how this show like makes up a catchphrase as like that was a real catchphrase in the world of the show, larger than the show, and also became the largest catchphrase from the show in real life. Does that make any sense, what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I think Are We Having Fun Yet is for sure like the most famous catchphrase from this show.
Yeah, it's kind of like pretty good.
Yeah.
Or no soup for you.
Yeah. Two crackers.
Yeah. Okay, so we now we go to the award ceremony out in the backyard.
Such that it is.
Yeah, which nobody seems to be enjoying. The award for gardening is given to the Weismans. One of the other guests moans that they lost to Jews.
No, not gardening, for the best Christmas decorations.
Oh, okay, so I wrote that
down.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why it's so crazy that the Jews get the best Christmas decorations.
Well, we wrote the best Christmas songs. I don't understand why that's challenging at all.
You said no one's enjoying it. First of all, Liddy is enjoying. She's having the time of her life.
She is, but none of the others.
Her real estate agent is having a great old time also.
Yeah, most of the guests are just like, all right, get this over with.
I mean, Gordon for sure wants to get the fuck out of there.
As this is going on, Roman is back in the kitchen and he decides to prank call Kyle, posing as the casting director for the Palisades, and leaves him a voicemail letting him know about some new information about the character that they want him to incorporate into his audition.
And we get the vibe that this is a thing that Roman is always doing to Kyle.
Yes.
Kyle falls for it every time.
Yeah, their relationship seems to be akin to the Martin Starr, Kumail Nanjiani relationship in Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Well, as I said, Roman.
Although I guess Kumail probably has more agency than Kyle.
Yeah,
but there it's mostly a similar. You know, Roman is much more of the the bully here and the smarter guy.
Yeah, but the bully, and yet we sympathize with him.
Yeah, we get Ron. He's trying because
he's also the loser, and Kyle's the guy who's the handsome guy who's always getting the
girls. Right. Ron's trying to entertain some of the kids. He's juggling a bottle, not even juggling. He's just kind of like tossing it from one hand to the other. I don't even know what he's doing.
Yeah.
They're very unimpressed, as they should be, because he's not doing anything impressive.
Yeah.
Until what finally gets them laughing is when he drops it and like it spills all over his shirt like that.
Well, didn't one of the kids stab him with like the toothpick or something?
Oh, that could be. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, something happens. Yeah, that's funny. And then he spills all over his shirt, the very shirt that he doesn't have a backup for, having given it to Henry early in the episode.
Very good. That's true. Yeah. I didn't even think of that. So Kyle is making his moves on the daughter. He's written this ridiculously bad love song.
She disagrees.
Well, that's because he's good looking, which is the
number one lesson. She wasn't so good looking. She wouldn't think it was so good.
The number one lesson to having good game is being good looking.
Yes.
So they head up to her room to start making out, where Ron has been in the bathroom trying to clean himself up. They start making out on the bed until they...
So he, earlier on, when the mom had spilled something on it, he had taken out like a little Tide stick and had quickly rubbed her shirt, which a little bit risky business to be touching this woman the way he was. But now he's doing it to himself in the groin area of his pants.
And she assumes that he's jerking off. The very incident which resulted in Sage's firing.
Yes. But to be fair, he's in a bathroom, not a closet.
He's in a bathroom, right.
Of an underage daughter.
But and also, he's not actually masturbating, which is much better.
Yeah, but he used the stick on their mom earlier today. So,
Ron starts threatening her, tells her that she'll destroy her.
Yeah, Ron turns pretty dramatically.
Yeah.
And again, we see that this guy's living on a knife's edge.
Yeah. And the girl wonders aloud, are we having fun yet? And suddenly a light bulb goes off in Kyle's head. We head back over to the bar.
So that's what I'm saying. This is a slogan that in this world is so popular that this teenage girl just randomly mentioned it.
Right. Yeah. She doesn't make the connection. It just jogs Kyle's memory.
Yeah.
Back at the bar.
Although maybe subconsciously she said it because she had seen the guy.
Henry and the husband are kind of trading stories. He thinks, Henry probably has like a very exciting life as an actor. And Henry's like, well, you have this whole like family man with a house thing going on. And he suggests maybe they should switch places. And the husband's like, well, do you know anything about like estate planning law? He's like, no. He's like, oh, then that won't work. Otherwise, it would work.
Yeah.
No one would notice the difference. If all of a sudden, like Henry started just like living in the house and going to his job. As long as Henry was up to, brushed up a little bit on trust in estate law.
Yeah.
Kyle then comes over and he's like, are we having fun yet? And they're like, oh, right. It's from the beer commercial. And now all of a sudden it clicks for everyone. Everyone recognizes Henry. They want him to say the line, Henry. But he refuses. I guess he's, for whatever reason, doesn't have a positive association with that. I guess probably people have just been like
every person he's seen for the last 8 years. Exactly. Asked him to say that. Yeah.
And then Ron sees Henry serving a double shot to somebody.
Specifically to Gordon, who's
who's the host, right?
Yeah, and whose wife does not seem very pleased with any of his behavior, including
he's
his getting drunk at the party.
This is outrageous. I told you the host specifically ordered us no double jiggers at this table. Okay. at this party.
Yes. Have you ever heard the term jigger to refer to a shot of alcohol?
Yes, I have.
But
okay, but not all. It's more of like I think like old people who say it. So maybe it's an older.
Old people say a lot of words that rhyme with this that they shouldn't say also.
Right.
So I had never heard it. I actually went to look on Urban Dictionary. It's not the top definition for jigger, which is a kid's go-kart, apparently. But it is the second definition. A jigger is a unit of measurement when dealing with alcohol. I feel uncomfortable even saying this word over and over. One jigger is 1.5 ounces, the amount of alcohol in most highballs, as well as the size of a shot. But yes, I have never heard this before. And Ron should probably excise it from his vocabulary.
Yeah, probably best. Henry jokes that he believes the correct term is jig rose.
Yeah.
that's what they prefer.
Yeah. A jigger. Yeah.
Yeah. Henry then sees a guy kind of like storming around who doesn't look like he belongs. I guess he infers that must be Casey's husband. And he goes over, try to talk to the guy, try to stop him and, take control of the situation. But the guy's like, who the hell are you? And he pushes Henry into the pool.
Yeah. Barely touches him, but Henry does a quite dramatic prep.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
Gordon then decides to join in. He does a naked cannonball into the pool and urges all the other members of the party to join him. Which would be, it's very obviously very inappropriate, but would be less inappropriate if this was like a personal party that they were hosting, as opposed to like they're hosting the party for like the homeowners association.
Also, there are children here.
Right,
it's not just adults. Yeah,
that too.
But so then Gordon in the pool, he openly asks, "Oh, am I the asshole?" and I say, at least I say, no, he's not. Like, he's gonna have some super awkward interactions with his neighbors for a long time. But his wife is forcing him to go to this terrible boring party. So get drunk, take your clothes off, jump in the pool. Why not?
He jokes that maybe he'll win the award for best cock. And the guest starts to walk away in silence, a bit confused about what has occurred. We start closing things out. Kyle is getting some advice from Constance on how to factor in the latest character rewrite, in which he has been told that his character has nut cancer and is in chemo. And Roman suggests that Kyle will have to shave all of his body hair, and by which he means all of it, including the pubes, in order to get into character.
Yeah, but the strangest part here is that Kyle, okay, so Kyle believes it, fine. But then his response is to go shave his eyebrow. Like, why is that what he starts with?
Well, he has to shave everything. That's what he saw first, I guess.
But, like, wouldn't you assume, like, the makeup people would be doing that for you? I don't know. Very strange.
Well, this is just an audition, right?
Yeah, and for the audition, you don't have to be totally shaved.
Well, he's just telling him that he should get into character. So, like,
I don't know. It's strange.
But Kyle's a method actor.
Of course, yes.
Kyle, he should want to really be a method actor. He should go get chemotherapy.
I guess so, yeah.
Let the chemo do its work with the hair. Henry is apologetic to Casey for failing at the one job that he was given. I guess he was given two jobs. He was given the job to be a bartender and also to stop Casey's husband. And Casey reveals that her husband has gotten a job in Vermont, but she doesn't really want to go with him. Casey then sees Kyle shaving his eyebrows and tells him that it was Roman who called him and that it was a prank. And we finally end off with Ron, you know, trying to close things out with Heidi, the homeowner, and he has taken the liberty of filling out the feedback card for her, to which she's not on board for that. She instructs him to go get another feedback card because I guess she's going to write less charitable things than what Ron has filled out. And as you said earlier, we see the waitstaff each being given the large sum of $14 for their efforts that evening. And that is where the principal part of this episode ends. Each episode of this show, I think all of them, they have this kind of like, not post credits, but it's kind of
mid-credits.
Like mid-credits, like the credits start playing.
If you did not see it, go back, make sure you watch the episode through the credits, because it's arguably, I think it's the funniest joke of the episode.
Yeah, it's very good. I would say let's do each episode. We'll just score the mid-credit scene as its own thing.
Okay.
We can say for each one, are we having fun yet or are we not having fun yet?
Okay.
And you know, in this one in particular, we see Henry being prompted by an attractive woman.
Well, it's the woman. The woman from the bar, the MILF.
The MILF earlier, yeah.
He is now in his car with him, giving him a hand job.
Yes. And she finally urges him to stay the line. He finally blurts out, are we having fun yet?
And that causes him to suffer from impotence.
Yeah.
His own catchphrase causes him to lose his erection. And yes. I think that's very funny.
Yeah, that is funny. Yeah. So I will say on this one, I am having fun yet. I thought this was a very fun mid-credit scene. And I hope that that trend continues.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how official any of these rankings really are.
So how much fun were you having? Give us a rating for this episode.
I would say this is a very solid pilot episode. It really does a very good job of introducing you to the characters, giving you a flavor of the world, giving you a good expectation about what's to come. I will say it is pretty, 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 pretty good. Four pretties. I would say better as a pilot than as an episode. But I'm, you know, very excited for what's to come. It's a very fun show. Lots of, you know, great hijinks, great characters. And I'm really excited that we're doing this.
Yeah, no, I really liked it as well. I will note episode one has a 7.4 rating on IMDb, which is by a pretty big margin, the lowest rated episode of the series.
Oh, wow.
And I'm pumped because I think that means it's only going to get better. And I think, like you said, it's a great intro to the show. It's not the best episode, but it sets the table. It introduces all the characters. Some of them are a bit cliche, like Kyle is like stupider than Joey Tribbiani at his dumbest. But overall, I'm definitely excited for the next episode, and that's a series premiere's job. And so I will agree with you, and I will say it is pretty, 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 pretty good. That's four pretties, four doses of fun that I am having. So,
all right, very good.
Yeah, we are exactly simpatico there. All right, let's go to the come with guy.
Oh, come on, be a come with guy.
And I'll say, like, it's Adam Scott's Henry's first day in 8 years. But he's like instantly the star of the ensemble. He has that classic Adam Scott sarcasm and wit. It seems obvious from the first moment that he and Casey that there's going to be more there. And it just, you know, it's very clear to me, I think, that he's the star of the show, even though he's not the biggest name actor at the time. So,
right. Yeah, they're very good. That makes a lot of sense. I'm gonna go with Roman. I think he's just like super fun, and I have a feeling he's gonna be my come with guy a lot. He's probably my favorite character on the show. But you know, the pranks, the movie references, he's just really great. He's my come with guy.
Okay.
Oh, what? I'm the asshole here. I am. I'm the asshole. I'm the asshole. Oh, I get it. I'm the asshole here, huh?
Put your clothes on, Gordon. No one wants to see your penis. No one.
Well, why? Maybe I'll win an award for best cock.
What about fucking asshole?
Yeah, for fucking asshole, I'm just going to say the one person who wondered aloud, am I the asshole? I'm going to say, yes, you're not only the asshole, you're the fucking asshole. And that is you, Gordon.
Yeah. You know what? I changed my mind. I said before Gordon wasn't the asshole, but actually he was. He is. He's the only one that made a mistake at this party that will last long past this evening.
Right.
Oh, well, Casey's husband also, but it's clear that to me, it's not the first time for him. And, you know, tonight wasn't anything unusual, but like coming to your spouse's place of work over their explicit objection is creepy, if not dangerous behavior. But for Gordon, like he has to live here in this Willow Canyon development. And for the rest of time, all his neighbors are going to know him as the guy who got drunk and naked and jumped into the pool and did not even win best cock. So
he did not. Maybe next year.
Yeah. So well, listen, we can bring back the cameos segment, which we did not have during the rehearsal.
Would you stop with the Ted dance?
Who's he?
He's somebody.
What about me?
You're nobody.
Why him? Why not me?
He's good. You're not.
I'm better than him.
You're worse. Much, much worse.
You know, we mentioned in this episode, we have Gordon and his wife.
Rebecca Kreskoff.
Yeah, I know. But
Liddy.
Gordon and Lily. Is that a Gordon Liddy reference? Must be.
Oh, interesting. It must be, yeah.
Yeah, the couple's name is Gordon and Liddy. So, yeah, obviously a nice little.
McSpadden.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what McSpadden is.
Yeah. Yeah, so Gordon and Liddy, as we said, Rebecca Kreskoff and Enrico Colantoni, you know, not huge stars. The biggest stars, as we said, are all the members of the actual cast. Adam Scott, Ken Reno, Jane Lynch, Martin Starr, Lizzie Kaplan. Those are all big stars, but we will have bigger cameos as the show goes on. And so, you know, in episode one, the biggest stars are actually the main cast, but you know,
right.
We will. I promise that we'll be having some interesting guest stars as we continue.
Yeah. And I actually already saw some of like the names being floated for that are coming up for the, like the new episodes. And suffice it to say that it seems like the show has gotten bigger and we'll have some bigger names than even the first two seasons. So
yeah,
that should be.
Well, I would
fun.
Imagine so, since all the original cast are like superstars now. So.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Is it time for the postman?
Yeah, let's head over to the postman.
Postman, come here. Tell the neighborhood. What a shanda, Larry. Larry David. Larry, you're a lousy Jew. But you're a lousy human being. He screws the wife of a man in a wheelchair. A shanda.
Maybe you should have given me some candy.
You're a lousy Jew!
If whether you're old or you're new, we will remind you that you can send in any emails with feedback, questions, comments, your ratings, your come with guys, your fucking assholes, anything you want to tell us, we'll read it. And you can do that by sending an email to curb, C-U-R-B, postman, P-O-S-T-M-A-N, at gmail.com. We also encourage you to go to the iTunes store on Apple and rate and review the podcast. Give us a minimum of 5 stars, and that will help people find the podcast so that we can grow and bring more people into this crazy little thing we're doing. So thank you in advance for that. So we head over to the postman. We have 3 emails this week. The first is from Tzvi Raps, who says, just writing in to say, I'm so excited that you're covering this show. I watched this episode a few months back in anticipation of it being covered, so I'm a bit hazy on the details. But he says, come with guy is Adam Scott, or do we say Henry Pollard? He's just wonderful in this episode. The fucking asshole is Casey's husband. And he says he will give this one a par good. 4.5 parties out of 5. Basically a perfect pilot, but I know there are funnier episodes to come. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is basically our take, is that this is an exceptional pilot episode, but it's not necessarily the funniest episode. There's a lot of laughs to come on this show, I assure you.
Yeah.
Next up is Jim Crumley, who says, as an introduction to Party Down, this episode worked pretty well. It sets the premise and the characters and had a few laughs. I wasn't blown away, but it was fun. 3 pretties. Come with guy is Roman is Martin Starr by Martin Starr. Martin Starr is great in everything, and this episode was no exception. Fucking asshole is Ron. Low level managers are always a pain in the ass. And finally, we go to Zach Brooks, who says, one episode in, are we having fun yet? Seems like a good pilot episode. I haven't seen this show and have no idea what to expect, but it has a good cast and made me want to watch Ordinary People.
Not Ordinary People.
What about Repo Man?
Yeah. my favorite, a couple people, I think, or one person, I forget who it was, in our group chat said they had never seen the show, watched episode one in anticipation of this podcast, and then ended up seeing all 20.
Yeah, I can see that. It's a very easy show to binge because it's like only 20 episodes. It's very light. You know,
they're short.
You could watch this show in, 3 days if you wanted to, like or less if, depending on.
You could watch the show in 10 hours if you so desire.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. It's a very easy binge. He says the Come With Guy is Constance by Jane Lynch, and the fucking asshole is the naked dad pool jumper. At least nobody drowned, and he gives the episode 3 pretties.
Okay.
Don't you hate to be continued on TV? I mean, the whole reason you watch a TV show is because it ends. If I wanted a long, boring story with no point to it, I have my life.
Next week, we have the California College Conservative Union Caucus. So we're going to meet some young Republicans, it sounds
like.
Should
get political.
Yeah. And I don't remember anything about that episode. Except,
I don't think I remember anything about any episode.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I'm looking at the episode titles now. And there's definitely a few that I remember some stuff from, but I won't say anything. But yeah, it's okay. I'm excited. And what else? Anything else we have to say here?
No. Bye.
All right, I'm ending it.
Get a life, Jews.